Hello everyone and welcome to another edition of Grecian's Gossip. I'm joined by David Byram,
hello,
Jamie Hawkins,
hello,
and Dan Clark,
hello.
It's first full lineup in a little bit. 5 weeks, David, you've put down, is that right?
The
Grecian's Gossip podcast, so it's not Altisdale's lineup, we should clarify. But first time in 5 weeks, a little while, but good. Well, let's get down to business anyhow. Starting off with Saturday's win over Morecambe, I mean 4-1 from City, and back to winning ways, David. How important was that, do you think?
Pretty important. Paul Tisdale said it was pretty important post-match. Morecambe weren't very good, let's face it. But, you can only beat what's out in front of you, and I think it was a game where we saw that Jaden Stockley and Ruben Reid can play up front together, and Jaden Stockley scored two good goals. And, just overall, a very solid performance, and good to sort of overcome the little blip they suffered last week.
We were discussing that last week, as you said, and we talked about how it wasn't a disastrous run in itself, losing to two good sides, but it's good to get back on the horse, because had they not picked up all the points against Morecambe, perhaps had they even lost, that would have been that may have become the beginnings of a crisis, perhaps.
Crisis probably too strong a word, but it would have, you would have perhaps, going into Coventry and Notts County, you might have thought these are three difficult games, but going into Morecambe, it's a game you think City should win this, and I think that's the good thing about so far this season. They've won every game that you've gone into thinking they should win this, so definitely positive there.
Jamie, do you see the game, or what were your thoughts on the performance?
Yeah, the Morecambe game, it was back to the City of old in terms of earlier this season, very efficient. Right, it scored four goals, hasn't happened much this season at home. It's been 1-0 wins. But as Dave said, it was hugely important to bounce back after a disappointing week against Coventry and Notts County. After that Notts County game, I said, the Morecambe one's pretty much a must win already if you want to keep the momentum at the top. It was a weird one. It was 3-1 at half time, but it didn't really feel like a great game. It was almost, not flat, but as if the crowd were expecting it, like it was job done. Obviously it should have been a clean sheet, bit of a howler from Christy Pym, but never looked in any danger of slipping up. Great goals as well, Jaden Stockley, brilliant brace from him. His second one in particular was outstanding. As the cliche goes, a good day at the office, and obviously keeps the run going and joint top still.
Dan, your thoughts on it?
Yeah, I mean, just after the back-to-back defeats, you kind of just needed to get that win just to, to keep things going, keep things moving in the right direction, and not to be, waste the good start and get caught up by everyone. I mean, Morecambe, you'd think, based on what we've seen, they're the worst team we've seen at St James' Park this season, and we'll probably...
They're all back.
Well, compared to some of the teams we've seen, they've been, obviously, Notts County were good, Newport were quite good, Cambridge... They look good on the day as well. So, it's not been the easiest run of fixtures against teams right at the bottom at home. But, they really struggled defensively. You kind of felt they didn't, as if they could cope with Reid and Stockley, who, answer those questions. Can they play as a pair? We were sort of debating that beforehand. Well, based on Saturday, they can actually play as a pair. And Stockley looks like they brought him in for a lot of money to score the goals, and he's scoring the goals so far, and that's what you want to see from your record signing striker, putting the ball in the back and able to link up with, Ruben Reid is the top scorer so far. So the questions, how are you going to replace the goals of Wheeler and Watkins? Well, Stockley might do it on his own if he keeps going at this rate.
Yeah, I mean, let's look at that in a bit more detail, the whole Stockley and Ruben Reid thing, because as you said, we did discuss it last week, and I mean, is it premature after after one particularly good game together to start saying they've definitely got a future together, or do you think they're showing signs of
they show more and more signs than on Saturday than they had in previous games that they can link up. I mean, there are a lot of times you could see one of them go for the ball and the other one had made the run for it off, to spin off. There were sort of a few passing moves in each other, and sort of maybe they're not a perfect fit in terms of what you'd ideally like, but between the two of them, they both seemed to know what they were doing. They knew they had a plan and they were sticking to that plan. They went, you know, there's probably only one occasion where they both went for the same ball, or you know, they made both made the same run in the whole game. They weren't doing that. They were, you know, maybe, you know, perhaps what Ruben Reid not playing exactly the way he has at the start of the season, but they were sticking to their plan and what Paul Tisdale told them to do, and it was working. I mean, you know, they were gradually getting better and better as the games have gone on. It's more commit wasn't a great defence, but they ran rings around them really, and there's definitely signs that they can link up as a partnership. And you know, I suppose despite McLinden's goal against Plymouth, it's going to be tough for him to find himself back in the starting lineup if everyone's fit, because you know, Stockley, he's scoring goals and you've paid a lot of money for him, he's almost certainly going to play. And at the minute, Ruben Reid probably is ahead of McLinden in the pecking order, so you feel that will be the strike force probably for the next two or three games going forward. And if it looks or continues to work and link up the way they did last Saturday, probably for the rest of the season as well.
Mm. Yeah, David, I mean, you probably know Tisdale perhaps the best out of all of us in this room speaking to him regularly. I know he's not an easy man to predict what he's going to do in terms of lineups, but you think he'll stick with the Stockley-Reid partnership?
I think so, yeah. I mean, it was interesting, actually, because this time, well, on Thursday last week, he said in his pre-match press conference that I think his words were, he'll exercise his right to change things when he wants to.
I think
Jim Bentley fell into that trap a little, because he said he didn't expect Stockley and Reid to play up front together, despite the fact they played a game and a half together already previous. And I think we've seen from Paul Tisdale this season, he has got very much a mentality of, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So, you know, you go into a game after scoring four goals in your previous game, there's not much need to change things around, really, is there?
Mm, sure. Well, I mean, speaking of changing things around, there were changes for the Plymouth Argyle game in midweek. Eight changes, I think I'm right in saying.
Yeah.
Compared to just one, I think it was for Plymouth, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. I mean, again, David, you were at that game. All the sounds coming out of St James's Park are pretty positive after that, despite ultimately losing the game through the penalty shootout, I suppose.
I'm going to dispute the fact they lost the game. If it was a draw and Plymouth got a bonus point for the penalty shootout.
It's a bizarre one, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's kind of middle ground.
Very positive, to be honest. I mean, it wasn't the most high quality of games. It was quite open, and it did feel a little like a training game at times, not like a proper Devon derby. But, you know, for Exeter to make eight changes and hold probably the strongest Plymouth side they could field to a draw is quite positive. And I think it speaks quite a lot about Plymouth's form at the moment as well, to be honest.
Yeah. Jamie, you're a City fan. How are you viewing that one midweek game?
I mean, I said yesterday, I'm not bothered either way. Still sticking to that. I didn't lose much sleep last night.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, seeing the lineups when Plymouth make just one change from last week, showing how desperate they are for a win. And to, you know, be held by a youthful City side with, you know, lots of players who haven't played much together. It's very encouraging. How much can you take from that going into Saturday and the rest of the season? Perhaps not much, because you don't know how hard the players were trying, perhaps, although it was a derby match, but in front of a, you know, small crowd and a, you know, a trophy no one really cares about until you get to Wembley. But you know, I watched the goals earlier, and Carl Edwards, you know, absolutely outstanding goal. He's looked promising in the short amount of game time he's had when he's come on at the park. You know, the Big Bank roaring him on, he takes players on, he's got so much confidence, and he's what, 17, 16, is it?
19, I think. 19, he's a little older.
Still very young and perhaps a little inexperienced, but he didn't show that. So, you know, the positives are still there, especially with the young players. And again, it shows how, you know, strong a squad we've got, strength in depth, that Tisdale can make as many changes as he wants and still put out a good side that will get a promising result.
Mm. Dan, do you think does that result and performance, more to the point, does it realistically throw up any selection issues for Paul Tisdale, or really was it more a case of some youngsters without too much pressure on their shoulders going out?
I think it's probably more of the latter, really. I mean, you know, it looks like Edwards had another really good game, but can you really see him starting away at, away to Carlisle? Possibly not. Maybe if it was a home game, he'd be more inclined to, but away, to a tough side, he's probably going to stick with, the more of the defensive wing, as we've seen with Taylor and Moxie, who started down last week and played left back last night. Possibly we'll go back, move back into to midfield as an option as well. You kind of feel, Boateng probably comes into the centre midfield to replace Tilson, as an option, but you don't really see too many changes that he'll be making. It's more just, I don't think the players, they took their chance, they showed what they can do, and they showed it's more that if they need to, they can step in. The likes of Kane Wilson can come in at right back. McLinden and Jay looked to have a decent link up play up front as another option if you needed to, but you can't, as good a performance as it is, I don't think it's going to have a huge amount of bearing on, the lineup that Portisdale puts out on Saturday, against Carlisle. And, perhaps they'll be a little disappointed that they didn't, having led twice, they couldn't hold on, they couldn't go on to win, to win the game or to win the penalty shootout, which, it's going to be tough to go through, but they can still go through to the next round. I mean, everyone will need their complicated, complex maths and an abacus for those final group round of fixtures, working out what needs to do. But it's a competition, the Checkatrade Trophy, that it's at the bottom of the list of your priorities, But if you ask any fan, would you rather win a game or lose a game? You'd still rather win the game than, even if it is a competition you're not massively bothered about, than lose it.
David, is there anyone you think you'd realistically to really force their way into Tiz's thinking?
I don't think so. No, Carl Edwards did play quite well, but there were still a few times where he failed to beat his man and stuff like that, and he sort of sat there thinking, if that was an older player, he'd probably know when to offload the ball a little more. And in that respect, I can't really see anyone coming in to the side. I think, I think players perhaps coming off the bench have done their chances well, I think, in a way, like Matt Jay showed he can sort of mix it up a little when players are getting quite physical with him, and he did well there. And Edwards off the bench is still a great option, and I think, as Dan said, players like Kane and Wilson have shown that they can perform when they're called upon. But I think there's not much need to change it, to be honest.
Okay. Well, you caught up with Paul Tisdale, sort of largely looking back at the Plymouth game. Let's have a listen to what he had to say.
Really good game, played so well. I'm very proud of them. It was a really good game. Great game to watch, but I am just very pleased with the way it went.
The fact that you were ahead twice in that, and with a team which showed 8 changes from Saturday, must please you.
Yeah, and there were three young players making their full senior debut today, as well as players who've been on the fringe of the team. I'm just really pleased where he played. It was a competitive game, a really good quality game against a team who wanted to beat us, and a full strength side, and took the lead twice. Could easily have nicked it with that Matt Jay effort off the crossbar. And really delighted. I think it just bodes well for the squad and the confidence of the players who are trying to get into the team.
All 7 of those substitutes from last Saturday, when you're starting lineup this week, does that mean they're pushing for places?
I think there's too much to. There's no mystery there.
and as for going down to a penalty shootout in the end, disappointing? Or
well, you want to win it, but one penalty missed. We want to win it, but it's a good experience for everyone. I don't mind the format. I don't mind the fact that straight to penalties. We said it didn't want extra time, and so the competition, the format's good. It gives those players a chance to play in this very competitive environment and do very well. And the penalties are just extra experience for them. So of course I wanted to win, but overall I could be more happy with the way things went and the way we played.
You've got one game left in this particular competition. How highly does that rate in your list of priorities, bearing in mind you have 1 point out of 2 games from this, but obviously the league position is something which must preoccupy your mind an awful lot more.
Yeah, I mean, we take it into consideration when it comes about. I couldn't even tell what the date of that game is, but it's against a Chelsea team, and again, it would be a really good opportunity for players to play against top opposition. And every game's an experience, and every game's an opportunity for players to push a claim for the first team. And you know, we'll take it in the right manner that it'll be a good quality game. So look, it's a long way off yet. We've got a game with Kyle first to play.
That was Paul Tisdale there, just talking about Plymouth game, and also a quick look ahead to Carlisle. Obviously, some very close games between City and Carlisle last season, very entertaining ones. David, who do you think goes into this as favourites?
I think, well, Exeter, to be honest, because they just had the better start of the season. I think, you know, both clubs have made a few changes. I wouldn't say massive overhauls of their squad, but both clubs have made some changes to last season, so I'm not sure if we'll get the 21 goals across four games that we saw last season. But, you know, Carlisle has started quite mixed, and, you know, they've lost players like Jabo Abiru, who, you know, is a great striker. So I think you know, City can go there as favourites. But, you know, I think if one thing we learned from last season, it's that Carlisle will never give up.
Mm-hmm. Jamie, what are your thoughts on getting into that one?
Yeah, I mean, looking back at last season, the playoffs were quite remarkable, and as were the league matches as well. Yeah, it's going to be a tough game, as every league game is, but you know, Carlisle have struggled a bit so far this season. I know Keith Cole's under a bit of pressure, and he referenced Paul Tisdale, didn't he, last season, in terms of the start they made and turning it around. Yeah, it's going to be good. I mean, I'm going to it myself. It's actually a game I've always wanted to do, Carlisle away.
Why is that?
I don't know, just because it's so far away, like literally opposite ends of the country, and I don't know, tick it off the bucket list. But I think given on form and table, you've got to be looking at going into that getting 3 points. I think as long as a trip it is, we've won a couple times up there, so it shows that the distance isn't an issue. Used to it as well, making these long trips. So yeah, and going in full of confidence, back of that Morecambe win, which is great, and the Argyle game. How much you can take from it, as I said, I don't know, but you know, I think, yeah, you've got to be going into that looking for 3 points.
Mm. Fighting talk, Jane, I like it. Dan, a few question marks over Jordan Tilson's fitness, sort of ankle injury picked up. David, I understand he's having an x-ray on it?
No, he's had the x-ray, it's all fine, but it's a case of, you know, there's still issues around the ankle, so I think they just have to see how that pans out in a way, and whether he's fit enough to play or not. Paul Tisdale compared it to Ryan Harley's injury in a way that, you know, they picked up heavy tackles, and, you know, initially it can look like nothing's wrong, but at the same time, you still have to be pain-free to play, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, should Tilson not play, Dan? Any ideas who you might put in?
Well, Boateng is the obvious suggestion. He came on from when he went injured last week. He started again on Plymouth in the centre midfield role, and you kind of feel he's been itching for that start ever since he signed for the club. You know, he's making his lively cameos off the bench. You know, he's a fan favourite already, it kind of feels, and he'd be the natural replacement just to sit in there alongside James in the centre of midfield. I suppose the other options, you know, you could play Jake Taylor in there and then bring somebody else into a wide position, possibly, as you're saying, Edwards or Sparks, or if Lee Holmes is back fit, you know, having missed last weekend, he could play on the right hand side with Moxie on the left, depending on, you know, I suppose how attacking he wants to be. But you'd think Boateng would be, again, the obvious suggestion, the solution, and he's also a player I think a few fans would probably want to see in the side ahead of Tilson anyway. So this is, you know, this will be his chance, you know, to stake his claim. You know, puts together a good performance, you know, at Carlisle, then he's going to make himself very difficult to drop, just like, you know, Jaden Stockley done. He got his chance, he scored his two goals, and you know, he's secured his place in the team, and Boateng will be looking to do the same, you'd imagine.
Mm. Boateng, David, for you, if Tilson isn't fit?
I think so. As Dan said, it seems the obvious choice. I think Jake Taylor's combative style in centre midfield, you know, might work, but then it's a case of, well, who do you bring onto the wing? So I think, you know, the less changes Paul Tisdale makes, the better. So, yeah, for me, Boateng, I think him and James have still got work, still got a few sort of issues here and there to work out with their partnership, but that just comes with extra game time, so I think it makes sense to start him, really.
Okay. Well, we've got a few Twitter questions to ask. Exeter City Polls, a regular, he asked, front two on Saturday, and who impressed you against Plymouth? David, again, I'll start with you. Front two, can you see that happening?
Just stopping, really, yeah.
Yeah, as discussed. Yeah. And I think we sort of talked a bit about the Plymouth game, but did anyone really stand out for you as far as you were concerned?
Like I said, Edwards and Jay were the two sort of standouts. I think Lloyd James had a good game, apart from his really poor penalty. Mm-hmm. Those were the sort of three. And you know, I think someone at the Plymouth Herald described Boateng as the best player on the pitch. I'm not sure he was better than Matt Jay, but I think he had a good game as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Jamie, Anthony Beveridge asked, will we stick to the same 11 from Saturday? Can you see Tiz switching anything up? I presume, presumably from the Morecambe game, would he mean?
Yeah.
I guess rather than
that. Yeah, I mean, obviously Tilson started that game, mm-hmm. so you assuming he's going to be out, if you think Boateng's going to come in. I mean, I don't know what the situation on Moore Taylor is.
That's a strange one. I mean, after Notts County, Paul Tisdale said he'd be a while. And then at the press call on Thursday, Paul Tisdale said, you know, he'd be 1 to 2 weeks, but he could be back for Morecambe. I'm not sure anyone really knows, to be honest.
I mean, if you assume he's, you know, going to be out, I think Luke Crowe will come in again, who I thought looked decent against Morecambe. Didn't have a lot to do because they were quite poor. But, you know, I think when Moore Taylor's out, it's between him and Troy Archibald-Henville, and I think out of the two, it's going to be Luke Crowe, because unfortunately, I don't think Archibald-Henville looks the same player as he once was when he was first at the club. I think, you know, he's had quite bad luck with injuries. He doesn't seem to have got over those. Don't know if he will again, to be honest. I think he's one of those players that once they keep coming, they never really get back to their full potential. Same for me up front, Reid and Stockley. Feel a bit sorry for McAlinden. Obviously, he scored on Tuesday night. He hasn't done anything wrong, but I think since Stockley's come in, he's impressed. He's got the goals. And he's forced him out of the team, which is a bit harsh, but he's still a good option to bring off the bench. Brutting and James. Boateng looks a really good player. As Dave was saying, he's perhaps work on his partnership with James. But yeah, I can only see the same sort of team with Morecambe.
Okay. Dan, I'll ask you the final question from Jonathan Smith. He asks, people seem to have written Ryan Harley off, but after Plymouth, I think Boateng alongside him could reignite him. Thoughts?
I certainly haven't written Ryan Harley off. I still, you know, think he's got a lot to offer Exeter City once he returns from this injury that he's picked up on the opening day of the season. He got this injury and we haven't really seen him since. But I think Paul Tisdale, you know, really likes him, you know, for two things. One, he's got that creative range of passing that, if you look around the rest of that midfield, not really anyone else has. I mean, Tilson's not known for his passing. James can be good, but can also have days where he struggles to find a red shirt. And Boateng, you haven't seen a lot from him, you know, passing wise yet, but he might have that ability in him. But he likes, you know, Harley, he's got that creativity, and I think he also likes Paul Tisdale likes his defensive discipline, in a sense that he might not, you know, be steaming into challenges and diving in, winning the ball in that way, but he sort of, he marks space, I think, you know, the way that he puts himself in the exact position that the opposition striker or the opposition winger or midfielder would want to be, and sort of more blocks that off out of the game and sort of, you know, cuts off attacks in that way. And, you know, perhaps he has a bit, you know, if you look at how he's playing out on the wing, I mean, Lee Holmes is the other player, he's played a lot on the left wing this season, and Harley's a, you know, a better defensive option if you're going to go down that route. But or Harley could come into the midfield, you know, perhaps alongside, you know, Boateng or Tilson as a more defensive option. Obviously, you know, I think people have written him off before, and he's come back. I mean, you know, he does seem to pick up these injuries every single season. He misses a couple of months, but then, you know, works his way back into the side and back into top form. And, you know, I'd expect, you know, to see the same again, later on this season. But what the squad depth we've got this season at Exeter City perhaps shows that you've got a player as good as Ryan Harley is, who has barely featured this season, and if there's players around, you can cover that absence. And that's I suppose a testament to the squad that Paul Tisdale's built, that if one player's injured, actually it's not the end of the world, like it might have been last year in terms of how we cover that.
David, I mean, early days with Boateng, obviously Harley has been out for a little while, but could you see those two complementing each other quite well?
I think so, yeah. I think what I'd love to see in that sort of thing is perhaps a midfield three of James, Boateng and Harley. I think that could work well together. You've got two ball players in there and Boateng, who can win the ball and sort of sit deep a little and then make runs from deep. I think that could work quite well together, but I also think that'd be harsh on Jordan Tilson to not include him in the side after his good form at the start of the season.
Finish off just very quickly with some predictions for Carlisle. You'd be right to not I'll get your thoughts on that, David.
3-1 to City.
Jamie?
2-1 to City.
Okay.
After all the goals last season, I'm going to go for a goalless draw. And everyone will be incredibly disappointed by it.
Excellent. Well, look forward to next week and seeing how accurate those predictions are. In the meantime, thanks for joining us, and we'll see you next time.